How's everyone doing? You look nice. You look like early January. Oh my goodness gracious. What a whirlwind. Has anybody been like just crazy busy? Is it just me? Just me? Okay, before we go any farther, I reckon I should release the little ones with Brother James. And Miss Portia, would you mind helping Brother James out for a bit? Who wants what God has for him this new year? Man, I'll tell you what, we can take back what we lost. You know what I'm saying? Let me say this, God's not done with little Victory Life Church. God has big plans for Victory Life Church. God has a big plan for your home. And I don't know about you guys. I know we all have different dynamics and stuff like that. But I feel like, and I just want to be honest with you. I feel like I need to be honest with you. I've dropped the ball in a couple places this last year, you know. And I want that back. I want everything that God has for me. I want to be what he's called me to be. And what better time than right now? We all get on fire for the Lord like never before and take back what Satan has stolen from us. Amen. And listen, let me just say this, that I'm not talking about anybody in specific or specifically talking about anybody. I don't know nothing about nothing. But if you have a problem with somebody in here in this church, why don't we give it to Jesus? If you have a critical spirit in general, why don't we rebuke that noise and give it to Jesus? I'm talking to myself because I got beef with somebody in here. No, I'm playing. I love all you guys. But, you know, I've been spending some time with the Lord. And, you know, as we read in Acts and in the letters, the Apostle Paul's letters, we see where Satan just loves to drive wedges into churches, you know, and he loves that stuff. And we want to be a church that is in unity. Amen. I would love to see each and every one of these chairs filled up, but that's not really what I'm getting at. I just want us to be what God wants us to be. I want to do what he's called us to do, not just in this church. Amen. But I'm talking about in my home, man. You know, I'm talking about at the workplace. I'm talking about Paul Rott, who I am. I want to be able to look back and say, man, it was a crazy ride. And Lord Jesus, thank you so much. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I gave all. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be great? Okay, so let's get fired up this morning because we can leave here really encouraged, but we don't want to lose it by Monday, do we? Okay, so listen, do this for me. And let's get into the Word of God like never before in this coming year. Amen. You know, me and Rick, we put in the little Bible challenge thing in the bulletin. And we're just saying, you know, read a chapter a day. But you know what? You can read a couple verses a day. You can read 8 chapters a day. You can read the Bible in 12 hours or whatever. But what I'm saying is what you read, let it get in here. Let it get in your heart. Amen. And let's be obedient to the Word of God. Amen. Let's be that person that God wants me to be. Amen. Okay, so you know what? You should turn somewhere. Turn to Deuteronomy 2. It's in the beginning of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I can't help but chuckle a little bit when I say Deuteronomy because it's kind of a funny word, huh? Everybody say Deuteronomy. Yeah, when I did Sunday school for a long time, I did youth group for a long time, and I did these youngsters, Well, I did, it was in children's church. I've kind of done everything around here at one time or the other. And when I had these little kids, you know, about 6 or 7 years old, they called it Deuteronomy. And that is forever ingrained in my mind. I mean no disrespect. I'm just saying it's kind of cute, kind of funny. Amen. So Deuteronomy chapter 2 is where we're going, guys, and we're going to be at the first verse. Follow along in the monitors. Praise and worship was awesome. Father God, thank you for your anointing this morning. It's your anointing that's going to break the yoke. It's the anointing that's going to set the captives free. Thank you for your anointing on the words this morning, Lord God. Let me say what you would have me say, Lord Jesus. Thank you for strengthening me. Thank you that we are going to leave here fired up for you, Jesus. And we love you and we praise you. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 2, we have this situation where the children of Israel come up to the promised land and they send out the 12 spies, okay? But the spies come back, bring a bad report. Fear, doubt engulfs the nation of Israel, okay? God says, you know what? Because of your grumbling, because of your complaining, because of your doubt, okay? You guys aren't going to be able to enter this promised land. So they had to spend 40 years in this wilderness situation while that doubtful, grumbling, complaining generation died out. So another generation could go in and take what the Lord had for them. Okay, so that's where we're at right here. Okay, so Deuteronomy 2 and verse 1, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. So when they left Egypt, what did they do? What did Pharaoh's armies drown in? Drown in the Red Sea. So now they're heading back that direction. Now, don't get me wrong, they're not marching into Israel. I mean, they're not marching into Egypt, but they're going to be going around in circles and all through the wilderness for like 40 stinking years. Does that sound like something you want to do? No way. Uh-uh. Okay, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord told me, and for many days we traveled around Mount Seir. Now, that many days can seem a little misleading, okay? I'm not talking about a month. I'm not talking about 4 weeks or 6 weeks or a year. That's about 38, 39 years. That many days, they went out into that wilderness experience. Okay, now some of us may be in a wilderness experience right now, okay? We may be in this place where we're not happy to be, where we don't want to be. Maybe we got there from not obeying the Lord. Maybe we got into some sins that we need to repent of, and we're going through some corrections. Maybe you're just going through a tough time right now. Okay, but you know what? God has something better for us. Are you with me this morning? Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness, in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord told me. And for many days we traveled around Mount Seir. We often miss out on the blessings, you know, that the Lord has for us. Amen. Now keep in mind, while they were in this wilderness experience, the Lord provided for them. The Lord met their needs. But they didn't go to that place where the Lord wanted them to be. So we got to watch out and make sure we don't turn into a complacent people, right? And just be satisfied with where we're at in our relationship with the Lord. Because I promise you, the Lord has something better for us. Amen? Now, when they butted up to that promised land, they doubted the Lord. Amen? And as students of the Word, people that know Exodus and the stories in there, it kind of blows our mind, doesn't it? Because they had all these miracles that happened for them. They saw the mighty hand of the Lord move in these amazing ways where the Red Sea drowned Pharaoh's army and the 10 plagues and all this stuff happened, and they were fed by the manna and they were hydrated. The Lord just met each and every need that they had for them. So when we read that, looking back, we're like, they shouldn't have been full of fear at all. You know what I mean? The same God is going to go with them across the Jordan, okay? But they didn't. They didn't trust in the Lord, okay? We got to fight that. We got to make sure we don't get complacent. We don't get full of fear, because I'm here to tell you this morning, God has something for us to do, doesn't he? Amen. And we can look at it and say, this is too big. This is too big for my God. No, it's not. No, it's not. Oh, he's not concerned about what I'm going through. Okay, that's rubbish, right? We know better than that. Okay, well, the children of Israel should have known better too. Amen. So let's make sure we don't get in that situation. Okay, look back. The children of Israel, it seems like to me, it'd been really easy to look up and see that pillar of fire and say, man, I think God's got this. What's a few giants? Amen. What's a few giants to my God? Amen. My God's got this. That's the attitude we need to have. Amen. I want what the Lord wants for me. Amen. Let's say that this morning. I want what the Lord has for me. Now let's get that in our hearts and let's mean that, because we can leave here and, you know, this can be just like another Sunday, which leads into another Sunday. Or we can get fired up about what the Lord has for us. Amen. And let that change what's going on in my home. We can take back what Satan has stolen out of my house. Amen. When a thief's caught, guess what? He's got to pay back a whole bunch, don't he? Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 2. Then the Lord said to me. A lot of the scriptures we're going to go over today, it's going to say something like that. Then the Lord said to me. Or the Lord said this. Whenever you read something like that in the scripture, what does that mean? That means that's really, really important, right? Okay. Remember that. Because we're starting this Bible thing. We're going to get into the Word of God. And when God says something, I need to apply that to my life. Amen? Then the Lord said to me, you have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward. That's what we're talking about today, guys. Okay, no more wilderness living for us. Okay, no more settling for second best. Amen. They spent 40 years in that wilderness. Okay, and God said, now it's time to go north. Now it's time to go up to that promised land. Your mom and daddy didn't think I was big enough or strong enough to do it. Amen. But this generation is going to trust in me. This generation is going to trust in me. So this morning right here, guys, we want to leave here with our vision on, I would just want what you want. Amen. It's not too difficult. Amen. Well, what's God's plan for Victory Life Church? I don't know exactly, but it's good. Is it going to be easy? Not exactly, but God's going to do all the stuff that we can't do. Amen. God's going to, see, when the children of Israel cross the Jordan, and they go into the promised land. They're not the inhabitants of the land aren't just going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, here you can have my house and been waiting for you. There's something on the stove, and yeah, go ahead and drink from the well you didn't dig and eat from the vineyard you didn't plant. God was going to give them all that stuff, but these pagans weren't about to just turn it over. I mean, that was the problem in the first place when the children of Israel got there. They're like, these dudes are too tough. Yeah, everything looks great. Everything looks awesome. But these guys are too big. And I feel really, really small. Amen. But this generation has got warfare ahead of them. Amen. It's not going to be easy. But God's going to do the part that you can't do. Amen. And guess what? I got news for you guys. That's the road we're on, okay? We're going to be in spiritual warfare. We're going to go through things that we don't like. Amen. But God allows us to go through these things. God even pushes us into some things for our growth, right? So we can be what he's called us to be. So if we leave here thinking, you know what? Paul's right. We do need to get on fire for the Lord. I do want to be everything God wants me to be. Amen. And you pray that, be ready. You know what I mean? Because he's going to take you up on that. And things can get crazy. But that's where we start growing. And that's what it's all about, man. Amen. Thank the good Lord Jesus for spring water from Fred's. Man, it's tasting mighty good today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Is everyone all right? Everyone comfortable? We got FSU cake in the back. We're doing that all this month. We're celebrating the teams of the SCC. That way nobody's offended. Next week we got Alabama. None of that stuff matters. All you football people, I'm glad you like football, but that doesn't really matter. Now I'm getting in dangerous territory. No, but seriously, man, it's all about Jesus. He's number one. He's the big thing. And, you know, I am not going to preach against college football, okay? I need this gig. I need this. No, I'm playing, man. But I do have to tell the truth. And there's more important things that I have. Listen, I'm not picking on nobody. I know a lot of you guys like sports. But the big thing is Jesus Christ. And he, what if he does say, you know what? Don't watch the big game. He would never say that. He would never say that. You know how important this is? No, see, we need to spend more time in the Word of God. We really do. And watch the game. You know, who cares? Watch the game. But let's make sure we're giving some time to the Most High God. And if he asks you to put something aside, then you know what? Put it aside. Put it aside and grow in relationship. Because, man, listen, we have a lot of things that we prioritize. And the things we prioritize are the things that are important to us. Amen. There's only one person that died for your sins. And that's Jesus Christ. And he wants to have an awesome, he wants you to have an awesome relationship with him. He wants you to enjoy a fulfilled relationship with him. Amen. So all of us are missing out on so much. Amen. There's nothing wrong with hobbies. There's nothing wrong with sports and all that sort of jazz. But like Brother Rick was talking about this morning, man, we gotta feed our spirit man too. Amen. Because our spirit man is like shriveling up sometimes, man. And we walk around and here in America and Northwest Florida, we don't deny ourselves nothing. You know what I mean? We don't, man, I want a candy bar. I'm going to get me a candy bar. Anybody else want a candy bar? Seriously, I'm going to go get a candy bar. No, I'm playing. But we don't deny ourselves nothing. So let's do that. Let's put some stuff aside that's not necessary. Raise your hands if you will not watch the big nun play. But there's some things that we certainly can put aside. And don't put something stupid aside. Don't put something aside that you don't care about. You know what I mean? What did David say? I'm not going to give the Lord something that didn't cost me nothing. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the Savior of my soul, the Creator of the universe. Amen. I want to give him my best. Amen. So listen, 6 days. 6 days. Why are we doing it again? A lot of you guys weren't here last week. We started a 6-day fast. And I says, you know what? Let's do it for 6 more days because a lot of folks weren't here. And to be quite honest with you, I didn't really do my fast last week. So I started to. A couple days, Miss Rita. A couple days I was good. A couple days I was good. And I gave in to temptation. And anyways, listen, this is the perfect time for us all to get together and get sold out and devoted and start laying some stuff aside and spending some time with the Most High God and growing that relationship with the Lord so I can be bold and say, yes, I want what you want me to do. I want to be what you've called me to be. Amen. Y'all with me? Okay, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord told me. And for many days we traveled around Mount Seir. Then the Lord said to me, you have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Turn north. Turn north. That's what we got to do. I'm talking about getting vertical. Amen? Not about pleasing myself anymore. Amen? I want to be what God's called me to be. Amen? Now, you notice, look back on there, look at verse 2 again, little tiny little verse. What does it say? Then the Lord said to me. Well, Lord talked to Moses. Lord talked to Joshua. Lord talked to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jonah. The Lord talks to us too. Amen? And you know what? We have this book right here. And we need to spend some time in it, amen, because the more time I spend in this book and meditate on it, and I'm going to be obedient to it, I'm going to be able to be what God's called me to be, because I'm going to do what this book says, amen. I'm going to, and you know what, well, I'm going to be the only dude fired up in Victory Life Church. Then be the only dude fired up in Victory Life Church. Be that person. Don't worry about everybody else, Amen. We got to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. We got to work all this stuff out on our own. And you know what? If you want to get cray cray and get crazy and riled up when Sister Rachel and James is playing the church music and we're worshiping the Lord, man, just get excited. Let's get excited. And you know what? If you're the only person that gets excited, then that's cool. You know what I mean? But I bet it won't stay that way. I guarantee it won't stay that way. Because revival's going to start right here with me. I mean, I don't mean Preacher Paul, okay? I mean, one person gets fired up about the Lord. Amen? We all get fired up about the Lord. See how that works? Amen? Just focus on yourself. I want what God wants for me. Amen? Okay. God talks to me too. God talks to us too. God speaks to us too. I don't know. Is there any way we can get rid of that? Can y'all hear that? I don't even know if it's possible. It's not really distracting me, but I don't know. I don't even know if we can figure it. There we go. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Now listen, this is the Apostle Paul talking specifically about the children of Israel, okay, and about the things that they went through, okay? Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. So, this book, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's all for us. It's all relevant for my life right now. Listen, on whom the end of the ages has come. That's talking about us, the church age. You and me right here, the stuff that happened back then, the things they shouldn't have done, the things that they were supposed to do, all that stuff and the way it panned out, that's for us to look at and be like, huh, yeah, I don't know if I should do that. You know what I mean? Worshiping idols never really works out good for people. You know what I mean? Mm-mm. But see, we take that and that's our instruction. You know what I mean? And Paul's talking exactly about these children of Israel. So don't look back and say, well, that's Old Testament stuff. You know what I mean? I live in the church age. No, listen, there's a lot of stuff we can learn from back there. Amen. That is so important, and all of it's pointing to Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? Okay. So listen, Jesus talks to each and every one of us. And yes, in your time of prayer, or even driving down the road, he can speak to you in that still, small voice. He can even scream at you, too. I've had that happen a time or two. And I'm being for real right now. But what I'm saying is we have this word of God, so I don't have to be fearful about the future. Okay, I don't have to be complacent about my relationship with the Lord. Amen. Like when the children of Israel butted up to the promised land, they were filled with fear, man. They're like, this is too big. We can't handle this. Amen? Well, we don't have to be that way. Amen? Because they should have listened to the voice of the Lord when he said, you got this. You got this. There's no problem here. I'm not going to leave you. Amen? So listen, when Jesus says to me, let's go to the next slide, guys. When Jesus says to me in Philippians 4:13, which we already read, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's the Lord telling me that I can take what he has for me, even if things get difficult. Okay, this church can advance and be what God's called it to be in this community. Amen? Because he will give us the strength we need when we focus on him. Amen? When we put him first, guess what? He's not wanting us to fall on our faces. Actually, he would love for us to fall on our faces and worshiping him in prayer and being a sold out, broken, contrite bunch of folks. And that's when some stuff's going to happen. Amen. You know what I'm saying? But when things get tough, man, when things get tough, I'm going to trust in the Most High God. Amen. Because he's going to give me the strength I need. I can do all things, not some things, all things. If he wants me to do something, he will make a way for me to do it. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29, guys. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. We have the children of Israel, God's people. in another situation, like that wilderness situation they had. Well, okay, let me explain like this. The last group of verses we talked about, the children of Israel spent 40 stinking years in the wilderness. Okay? And we can put ourselves in a wilderness experience that we've made ourselves. You know what I mean? Well, we just refuse to step out of our comfort zone because it looks just impossible. But all we have to do is look back and see how God has been faithful. How God done already parted the Red Sea in my life. Amen. How God already delivered me out of 400 years of slavery and bondage. Amen. Now think about that. I mean, we were all in bondage. We were all in bondage. We were dead men walking. We were on our way to hell. And he said, that's not going to work for you, Rick McClary. Somebody's been praying for you. I got my hand on you. I want to use you. And see, as saved people, we should be fired up about that and be willing to step out of our comfort zone and claim what God has for us. Amen? Amen? And when that fear starts to come in, we look back and say, man, God, he's been so good to me. He's never let me down. Amen? He can surely do this. He says he can do it. Amen? Y'all with me? Similar situation here. Israelites, God's chosen people here, got into bondage, actual physical captivity to the Babylonians. They refused to repent. They were caught up in that rebellion. God kept warning them, hey, it's not going to work out good for you. Can we? You think we can learn from that? We certainly can. Thank you, Jesus. So they're in captivity for 70 years. For thus says the Lord. Oh, there it is again. Thus says the Lord. When the Lord talks to me, guess what? I need to pay attention, right? Talking about red letter stuff. There's something, don't get me wrong, there's something you can learn about every single page and every single paragraph and every single sentence in this book. But when the Lord talks, we better listen. Amen. Are you with me? For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. A lot of us can look back on last year and we're like, man, this was a horrible year. This is the worst year I can remember. Some of us may feel that way. You know what I mean? Well, God wants us to know that's not the end of you, okay? You might be in a place that you got to there on your own power, on your own steam. You may have went the wrong direction by not listening to me, by not obeying me, and you find yourself in a bad place. I want you to know that's not the end. Amen. I still have a good plan for you. Amen. We may just be going through some hard times because God is allowing us to go through some trials and some storms. No matter what situation we're in or how you view last year or the last decade, the Lord says, you know what? That's not all I have for you. I got more stuff for you to do in the future. Don't be complacent with your victories from last year. Amen. Don't think it's the end of you because you dropped the ball some last year. Amen. But let's strive forward. Let's move forward. Amen. I got more for you to do. Amen. Get fired up about me. Amen. And I'll fill in the gaps. Let me be your shepherd. I'm going to take you to places you never thought you could go. Amen. Wouldn't that be cool for Victory Life Church? Amen. Yeah, give them some praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is an awesome verse right here. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you future and a hope. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. In other words, the big thing here is God has a plan for you. Okay, God's not done with you, Victory Life Church. God's not done with you, Paul. God's not done with you. I'm stopping what I'm doing to say, hey, I got a plan for you, buddy. Don't be discouraged. Amen? You don't know the plan. We know that God has some awesome things in store for us, but we don't know how we're going to get there, and we don't know exactly what that is. Amen. But God says, hey, I want you to know something. I got a good plan for you, buddy. I got a plan for you. Amen. A plan for welfare. Well, that makes sense because I'm like two paychecks away from being there. It's not that kind of welfare, you guys. I got to admit to you, I know I've said something like that before when I read that verse because it came back to me when I was reading that over the weekend, and I couldn't help but chuckle. But any old hoot and holler, moving forward. Moving forward. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare. Now that welfare is a word called shalom. Shalom. Everyone say it. Yeah, I don't know if I'm saying that right or you're saying that right. I'm not a scholar. But it means peace and it means plenty. It means God's got a plan to give you peace and to give you everything you need. You know what I mean? All the types of peace you need. You know what I mean? God's got everything you need. So as we get into this plan, he's starting to show us a little bit about this plan. Number one, I got a plan for you. Number two, you don't know exactly how this is going to pan out or what exactly is going on, but it's a plan. And it's a good plan. It's a plan for your welfare, for your peace, for everything you need. Amen? Not everything you want. Everyone say it's not everything you want. But if you ask it and it's in the Lord's will, he's going to give it to you. But if it's something that's going to send you back into captivity with the Babylonians or send you back into 40 years in the wilderness, he's not going to bless you with that. Amen? Because he's talking about, he says it's time for us to go north, Victory Life Church. It's time for us to take what God has for us. Amen? Can I get a witness? Plan for welfare and not for evil. I'm so glad that's put in there. You know, because sometimes when we get in the flesh, we can honest to goodness, and maybe we don't say the words. Maybe we do say the words. We're like, Lord God, do you really care that much about me? You know, I mean, here I am. You know, I come to church, and I sit there, and Paul talks, and he talks, and he talks. And, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I sit through all this. You know, I love you. And, you know, do you even see what I'm going through? Have y'all ever been in a place like that? You know what I'm talking about, though, right? Yeah. Like, man, it's not fair. So-and-so's got this, this, and this, and his kids are well-behaved. I can't even keep clothes on my kids. Either running around in the front yard, throwing rocks at the cars when they drive by. I'm not talking about my kids. Stuff like that's happened, though. That's all I'm going to say about that, but... I have had people pull back in my driveway and start cussing me out for no reason. I'm like, do we have a problem? You know, your child almost knocked me off my motorcycle. Any old hoot and holler, God is good and we're moving forward. Plans for welfare and not for evil. God does not want to destroy you. Now listen, he does not mind applying painful stimuli. He doesn't. He's all about maturing you and growing you up, okay? And he's the best father on the planet, in the world. He knows exactly what he's doing, and everything he does is for your benefit, for your growth, and it's out of love. Amen? So remember that. And not for evil, to give you future and a hope. Man, that's awesome. I want you to be hopeful, Victory Life Church congregation. I want you to be full of hope about your future. Now, this whole hopeful thing or full of hope isn't like modern day Milton, Florida hope, like I hope it don't rain at the wedding. I hope I don't get stuck in the mud. I hope there's some FSU cake waiting for me when I'm done preaching. That's wishful thinking type stuff, okay? That's not what God's saying. I want you to, you know, be wishful thinking about your future. Like, I hope something good comes out of all this rubbish I've been going through here. He's not talking about that. It's a confident expectation that my God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Amen. That's what that hope's talking about. That's the kind of hope Christians are supposed to have. That I know that God's going to work this out. I know because that Bible says it, that God has a good plan for me. Amen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but you know what? He loves me so much to say, hey, you're in a place you don't want to be right now. You're in Babylon. You know what I mean? But I got a great plan for you. And I need you to be excited about your future and expect me to say what I said I'm going to do. Amen? So we need to get fired up about that because he's got something for us to do. He's got some ground he wants us to cover. And now's the time for us to turn north. Amen? So like that clapping thing, do it again right now. Amen. You know, this thing's been going on for like 2 days where I think I can't turn pages like I'm supposed to. All those years of turning pages, it seems like I would have that down by now. Seem to be regressing in that area. Just pray about that. I was doing the thing yesterday, the wedding, and I have this little book, and I couldn't turn the pages. So I just cut the sermon in half, those of you that may have noticed. I was like, and the husband shall, amen. And I couldn't do it. The pages were stick together. It's like, Kayla, you'll just have to say your vows in private. Because I have lost the filling in my appendages. Yeah, it was a mic called. Man, but God is really good, isn't he? Yeah. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, so we're not doing horrible on time, but we're at that point where you guys could very easily get really tired and start to think about other things. This is really the point where I should just cut it off right now because you'll retain most of what we talked about. If I go any further, people are going to start shifting in their seats. There'll be little side conversations. But I really want to talk about this verse, man. You know, it's a good verse here. Joshua, go to Joshua. No. Let me see here. Go back the other way, Brother Houston. And he ain't lying. He's right. Right. I've done a lot of research on this. Not research I wanted to do. People just tell me these things. You know, it's like, you know what, man? Well, never mind. I already went over that. Philippians 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. This is the Apostle Paul talking here. He said, I ain't perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. That's awesome. And all God's people said, that's really, really awesome. Good job. Here's the thing, man. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Amen. He rose from the dead. He has saved our souls. And like we've been talking about, that is the biggest, most awesomest, blessed thing that could ever happen to you. Amen. So when we butt up to that promised land and we don't even think it's the promised land because we see the giants and we see the pagans, we need to understand that God can take this. He just needs me to be obedient. Amen. He needs me to step out of my comfort zone and say, God, I want to be what you've called me to be. I want to do what you've called me to do. I want to be the leader I'm supposed to be in my home. Amen. I want to be that witness in my place of work. Amen. If I am the only person fired up in Victory Life Church, then so be it. I will be the only person fired up in Victory Life Church. Amen. Because I know God can do this. Amen. Y'all with me? And he saved my soul. So if I look a little silly, I feel a little silly. Well, guess what? Somebody died for your sins. Amen. So you're saved. You know what? Okay. Now, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. God, you got something for me to do? I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to do everything you've called me to do. You know what I'm saying, right? Because I'm a saved person. Now, follow the next verse. I wasn't making fun of the verse. I got tongue-tied, so, you know, don't get mad at me. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead. Now that straining, that's like giving it my all. You know what I mean? You said you have a good plan for me. Hey, man, I don't know how I'm getting there. I don't know what all that entails, but I'm going to give it everything I got through you to be what you've called me to be, to get to that place where you want me to be. And I forget about the past. I forget about that place where I messed up last year. I've given that to you. Amen. I know I'm not damaged goods. I know you can still use me. Amen. I've given that to you. The victories, man, the accomplishments of last year or last decade, those are good. Those are great. But I got to keep moving forward. Listen, wars aren't won by a skirmish being won, by winning one little battle. I mean, there's decisive battles and all that. Just get with me on this train of thought. Amen. There's a lot of... Don't get the History Channel app going for me here. There's a lot of ground we got to cover in warfare. Amen. This church has accomplished a lot in the past. Amen. But we can't get complacent. We cannot get complacent. We want to be that church God's called us to be. Amen. That's why Paul's making this point. Hey, man, it's good. Good for you. Good job. You did that stuff. Amen. Okay. Keep moving forward. There's a lot more for you to do. Amen. Ah, you go to the next slide. You guys are being patient, being good. I'm going to do this fast. Joshua 1 and verse 8 and 9. This book of the law, listen, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What's that talking about? The word of God. That's the key to all this stuff, man. We got to stay in this book. We got to. And we got to spend that time in our prayer closet. Don't deny that. Amen. Our strength. Our direction is going to come from spending time with the Lord and getting into this book. Amen. Now listen, this pretty much just lays it out right here, man. This is our homework. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. I'm supposed to pray without ceasing and read the Bible all the time and think about it and chew it up all the time. Yeah, pretty much that's what we're supposed to do. Well, can I go to work? Yeah, you can go to work. And you're supposed to do the job you've been hired to do. And all, and go to school and be the best student. But see, as Christians, we're supposed to have a Christ-centered life, and that's going to keep us from making all these boo-boos and backslide and doing all this stuff we ain't supposed to be doing when we stay focused on the Most High God and meditate on His Word. Well, Pastor Paul, everyone say that. My old preacher said we're not supposed to meditate. Listen, when God, the Lord says meditate, you meditate. You don't meditate on becoming one with the universe or finding nirvana. And they don't even have that many good songs anyways. But that's for the kids out there. But you know what I'm saying, right? We meditate on the Word of God. That's supposed to be our life right there. Think about that. And that's going to help me make the decisions I'm supposed to be making the right way. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. There it is. Read it, chew it up, meditate on it, think about it, focus on it, do what it tells you to do. That's the big step. That's another big step. Okay? This Bible says an awful lot about forgiveness, but God obviously doesn't know what that woman's done to me. You know? Like, no. No. He says do it. Gives us a lot of reasons why we need to do it, so we are obedient to it. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. That's what I'm talking about. Prosperity. I've been waiting for you to talk about prosperity, Paul. Yep. Not that kind of prosperity. Don't get me wrong, God wants to bless us. But we want to be prosperous the way God wants us to be. I want to accomplish what He's wanting me to accomplish. Amen? For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Raise your hands if you're all about some good success for the kingdom. Amen. Amen. That's what we want. Last verse. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. This is Joshua getting his marching orders from the Lord to go take that promised land that should have been taken 40 years ago. You know what I mean? By now, that whole generation that died off, they could have already had all the warfare to take the promised land. Amen. Remember how the Lord made short work out of Jericho? They could have been sitting, chilling, relaxing, getting ready for the next battle that the Lord had for them. Amen. They could have been training in more raining or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But man, they missed out on all that that God had for them. But this generation, they're going to take what God has for them. Amen. And so Joshua is getting his marching orders. Don't be full of fear. You see what that does to people. You don't get to be where God wants you to be. You don't get the blessings God wants you to have. Amen. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Think about that. Whatever he's got for me, whatever he wants me to do, whatever he wants his church to do, he's going to be right there with us every step of the way. So I know that he's going to give me the strength I need. I know that his word is true. Amen. So I can get fired up and excited about it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Bless this congregation. Thank you, Father, that we are a sold out bunch of people, Lord Jesus. That we are fired up about being everything that you've called us to be, Lord Jesus. That even though it may look impossible, may seem difficult, we know that you're in the business of killing giants and business is booming. We know that you can do all things, Lord God, and we can do all things through you. Give us the desire to be what you've called us to be. Strengthen us in every area of our life. Let us put you first in all we do. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Really close us out in prayer. But don't forget about the Bible challenge. Read a chapter a day if you can. Read more. Get involved in the fast. I love you. We got men's Bible study Monday, 1:30-ish, Whataburger's